But I had some other repair work done and had had it cleaned just about 2 months prior to that. So then I had invested about $75 in it. It's a nice camera though.
You take a lot of pictures of animals to use in your work, or?
Animals and people. I have some photographs in the kitchen, children and plants, anything that interests me, old buildings.
And you use them in your work as an illustrator?
Sometimes, but they exist, you know, on their own, too.
In a separate
entity. I enjoy taking the photographs, you know. But we just came back from San Diego, and I spent a whole day at the zoo there. And took, well, I sketched while I was there, and I took 8 rolls. And I've got to pick them up yet. But, so I took lots of pictures. Yeah.
That's a place I've been.
Yeah, is that nice? That's fantastic.
So how would you describe the work that you do? Could you tell us about it? Tell us. Could you tell me about the work that you do? And
well, I illustrate primarily children's books. But I do books from grade school through college, and even medical illustration, college books. And it's quite varied, really, because I can do very realistic work, and you know, then I do the medical things. And they're college-level medical books, you know, like psych books, things like that. And then I have, I do a lot of line work, which is much freer and much more stylized, and that would be for lower levels. I just finished doing some work on a series of readers for Lippincott down in Philadelphia. It's quite nice. A lot of people worked on them, and the books really look nice. A lot of good people worked on it, and they're full color.
That does sound better than having just one person all the way through.
Yeah, well, the stories are quite interesting too, and they picked up a lot of old stories. So far they've done 3 books, and I guess they'll be releasing it in September, I think.
Elementary school?
Yeah, mid-grade. And I think they're going to do another 3 this fall. And some of the things that I have framed are from that. Oh, I have a press proofs, but I did see one set of the books, and they're quite nice. I'm trying to get copies now. The Lippincott was just bought by Harper and Rowland. I guess they were holding a lot of things in the warehouses for a while they were, you know, working out the sale. Everybody's being bought up by somebody else.
What other sort of work do you do besides children's books and school books?
Well, as far as an income, you know, that's it, really. And then I do a lot of line work for myself, a lot of drawings of plants and foods and things. And like I mentioned before, I did one cookbook. And I'd like to get into more plant books and cookbooks. I do a lot of animal illustrations, a lot of science series. I think your recorder's dying.
It has a tendency to do that.
Doesn't sound too good.
It's all right. I guess I'll use it till it blows up. Nothing else I can do. How did you get started into?
Well, I've always drawn, and I knew I wanted to go into that. I didn't know what phase, though. For a while, I thought I might just teach art, but I think it was mostly because I got to know a lot of people who are teaching, and I almost got into teaching. I used to teach summers in the New York City day camps, teach art, and so I got to know these people and thought it would be interesting, and then I guess I figured I would just draw for myself on the side. And I had come very close to getting a job. Well, I was given a job, but the teachers went out on strike. So I went to the school that one day and they called strike and I said, well, the heck with this. And I had a portfolio together anyway, and I started going around different places in the city and freelancing, and then finally got a full-time freelance job in a publishing house and got into it from there, and I really don't regret it at all. In fact, I'm very happy that I didn't teach, because I think it would be frustrating. You know, if you really love to do the work, you have to love teaching, and I guess first to be a good teacher. Otherwise, and you know, you're always wishing, gee, I wished I was doing the art instead of sitting in a classroom.
Because it does take up your time.
Yeah.
And your energy.
Yeah. But I had known a few really sensational teachers, and I got kind of, you know, swayed a little by that. It would have been nice, but I don't think I would have gotten as much out of it as I had there.
Did you go to school? Did you pursue a course of study?
Yeah. Well, I went to academic colleges rather than art school per se. But when I went to high school, I went to a vocational art high school in Manhattan. It was called a High School of Industrial Arts, and now it's Art and Design. And it's a very fine school, at least, you know, it was when I had gone there. I imagine it still is. But there are only two in the city that offer professional training to students, and they wind up finishing with a working portfolio that they can go out and get a job with, and in the various fields.
You know, that's great.
Photography, scenic design, and all the different types of art jobs, you know, whether illustration or design or, you know, just about anything.
You grew up in New York City?
Yeah. Yeah. Brooklyn, Queens.
Brooklyn, Queens. And you have a lot of your work seems to be involved with nature.
Quite a bit.
And yet you grew up...
Although I do a lot of buildings, too.
All right.
Yeah, I do quite a few buildings. In fact, I want to do a lot more of this area. But I went to NYU and I used to just wander around, keep a sketch pad on the area, and wound up displaying my work at this one gallery, and it was mostly of buildings, and then people would come in and have you do their own place, you know, like they might live on the Mews or something in an interesting place. So it was fun, and that was stuff strictly from the sketch pad. And there was a really nice newspaper in the village, the Villager, and they'd always have this one large spot on the front page of something in the area, and I had gotten going with that through my sketch pad while I was still at NYU.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's nice when people like your stuff.
Yeah, and it's fun because it gives you somebody that hasn't worked before an opportunity to get something published. And there are a lot of little things like that, and I guess around here there are a lot too. Well, Panorama's gone out of business, but things like that, or small papers.
I didn't know the Panorama had gone out.
Yeah, I heard it did. Yeah.
That's too bad.
In fact, yeah, I'd gotten a letter, because I had a subscription. Yeah. It's been in operation, I guess, quite a few years, too. It's a shame. But that's the way things go.
These things happen. Probably got
small
blown
businesses,
up by somebody.
You can't make a go of it anymore.
So, you grew up in New York, and you've ended up here now, in Bucks County.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything that... specifically attracted you here, or did you just sort of end up here? Or?
No, we came down for a weekend, fell in love with it. We came down on our first anniversary and went antiquing and just was crazy about the area, and decided we'd try to move down here, and about a year and a half later we did. We were very fortunate.
You're sort of, people would consider you to sort of be in the heart of it here, being
supposed.
Just far enough outside of New Hope to be
shielded
from it, but
yeah.
But still quite close to that, yeah. Which is...
It's fun. There's a lot of activity, and yet you're away from things, too.
So you can't get away from it, yeah.
Salisbury is lovely, although the developments are creeping up, which we don't think too much of. The place is New Hope, and so we had the rural delivery, the box out front, and we decided we'd prefer to have the Salisbury address so that we can have mail delivered to the post office, because I get a lot of large packages, you know, for artwork. And I was afraid of it being left out. And also, we wanted that kind of homey kind of atmosphere. It's fun, you know, especially if you're working at home all day and you don't see anyone. At least you take the break and you go down to the post office. And if you feel like talking, you know, and people are always dropping in and out, and very friendly.
What do you really like about this area? What was so attractive to you?
Well, the countryside is beautiful. And we love the old buildings. And eventually we'd like to live in a probably renovated barn or build something based on a bank barn. And when we first came down, we wanted to find an old stone house. Found out they were very expensive. But that's what we fell in love with. And then we were interested in antiques. So it had all the elements that we love, and yet it was close to New York. And close to Philly too, although I really haven't become that familiar with Philadelphia.
Philadelphia and New York are important to you for what reason?
The activities, my business, friends are there, but mostly what it has to offer. I mean, plays and things, and libraries and museums. And I guess at this point I wouldn't have to live that close because I have an agent and I could rely on the mails. I don't go into the city that much for business, but still, I mean, you know, at least once a month. So, but I could get by farther away, but we just love this. We love the city. We didn't move out of it because we didn't like it, you know, but we love this more. So it's nice to be close by. That's why Bucks County is terrific. You've got your way out, you know, you have the deer on the front lawn and the pheasant out back and rabbits all over, and yet you can hop on a bus in an hour and 20 minutes here in the city.
Yeah, right.
We don't go in as much as we thought we would. I guess we don't miss it that much.
So how long have you been here?
It'll be 5 years in October.
Have you got any, no, I guess not. If you're planning on looking for a house here.
Well, I think we're probably going to build. A friend of ours is an architect. In fact, Brooks Kaufman, the fellow that owns the Phillips Miller Inn, is an architect, and he's designing something for us.
That's
nice. But we want it to be really like a bank barn, a stone bank barn. And so many of them, you know, are renovated and chopped up so they don't keep the feeling of the barn. It's a shame, you know. And that's what we would have liked to have done, but it's so expensive by the time you buy the barn and the land. You can't afford to renovate it properly.
The areas
to hone in on that we really like the looks of it, the lay of the land. There's somebody on their bike.
Could have been me. Glad it wasn't. So other than, let me see, being a nice place to live, does Bucks County have any effect on your work, or is it inspiring in any way, or?
I think just being out in the countryside like this is to a degree, and I mean there are a lot of people in the arts evidently, but I really haven't been in touch with, you know, them that much. I've joined the Art Alliance, but I haven't had time to be active in it yet. But if that were the case, then I would think, you know, that would be good. I hope to get more involved in it. But you do have an opportunity to go to a lot of shows. I mean, art shows, gala showings. And you're close to Princeton. And there's a lot going on there, and I've taken some graphic courses there. The Art Association. I guess in other places you wouldn't have those opportunities, just whether you make use of it or not.
That's not, Princeton is something nobody's brought up, which I hadn't
really
even thought about.
Hopewell and Princeton is lovely.
Nobody's
even brought up. I mean, there's a lot there.
People are happy that they're close to New York. Everybody's happy that they're close to New York. And some of them are happy that they're close to Philadelphia. Some of them haven't even thought about it, but nobody's ever mentioned Princeton before.
But it's only half an hour, and Hopewell's just 20 minutes. And lots of nice places to sketch over that way. And it's just lovely, you know, being around. I think I'm going to be in a show over in Princeton pretty soon, in another month or so. I had gotten a note, you know, so having been in the, taking a course at the Art Association, you know, they want everybody to bring in two pieces, and I think it's going to be in a gallery in Princeton. I don't show my work too much because I'm really very busy with the illustration. So to get things framed and doing things that I would just do on my own, it's hard to get the time. But I try always to be in the Phillips Mills show because it's just so close, and they are pretty selective, so I like that. I don't like shows where just, you know, if you just put your work in, it's there. I don't like that too much. I wouldn't bother with that, I don't think. But that would be nice, you know, to do more things on your own, like that. Someday. And illustration. I had always wanted to be an illustrator, but you don't start as an illustrator. At least I found it that way. So
you have to start out doing
grubby work. Just everything. Boring work. Or paste-ups. Really, I mean, when you're doing it 9 to 5, it's really boring. And you have to be very precise. But you learn the field. Learn the business. And then if you're in an environment where the other things are being done, and you have the opportunity to see things and to learn things. So then I gradually got into book design and became a designer. But in the interim, I was always freelance illustrating. And then I guess I spent most of my time working for Holt Reinhardt and Winston. And so you were working with people who were hiring illustrators on a freelance basis, so occasionally you'd get that, you know, to do on weekends or nights. And then I became a design supervisor, and then went to work for a design studio, because there I had more opportunity to do illustration. And then when I knew we were going to move out here, you know, it took us about a year and a half, but we knew we were heading out here, so then I did more and more freelance. I worked only like a 3-day week at the studio, and the rest of the time freelance, to see if I could go over to the freelance and be successful, or if I had to commute, or what the situation would be. And it worked out that I was able to make the transition. When I got out here, I was finishing up on a job, a very large book, as a book design, and doing the dummy for it. And just finished that up, and was relying a good deal on the mails. And then went completely into illustration, and I've been doing just that since then. So that's almost 5 years. And I've always, you know, kept pretty busy, except when I wanted to slow down.
How much of your time does your work take? Are you really, like, full-time, even though you are freelance, or...?
It varies. Like, I've been off for about a month and a half now, but that's because we knew we were going on a vacation, and I also wanted to get some work done here. So, like, I stopped taking work, because I wanted to make sure I was clear. Because you get a job, and they'll give you a deadline, and then things will happen in between. Work will be delayed getting to you. Then all of a sudden, the deadline is a month off or so, you know, pushed back. So I was afraid that that would happen, interfere with our going away. So I stopped earlier. But if I want to be very busy, I can be. And the problem is, sometimes jobs overlap inadvertently, you know, because, you know, they think certain things will be ready at a certain point in time, and then one way or another things are delayed. Something's not set in time, or, you know, or the editors will change their mind and make extensive changes, and, you know, and then you get into problems. Then the deadlines really become a hassle, because you still have to fulfill your commitment. And then you work like crazy. You know. You can't plan weekends too well. That's difficult. because we're always having company coming down. And it's really hard because, you know, sometimes you just have to work and you 3 weeks beforehand, you didn't know you'd have to. You know, so sometimes work into the night. Try to keep it daytime, though. But it's not as bad. Publishing isn't as bad as advertising, because then you really have very short deadlines, like magazine work. But these deadlines are longer term, but still, there are usually delays, and then at the end they try to make up for it, and the artist is at the end. You're the last one before the printer. So some of you go away on vacation and the manuscript will sit on their desk, and when they finally get back, then they'll release it and you'll get it, and you still got to make up, you know, the time.
The heat loss.
Yeah. Yeah, things like that always happen.
So you enjoy the excitement of that?
Oh, it gets to me sometimes. My husband suffers for that. Then I stop cooking and stop cleaning house. The weeds grow.
Gotta get it out, though.
Yeah, still have to get it out. My husband's very understanding. And I enjoy eating out. I use it as an excuse sometimes. But it's an interesting field, though. But I would like to get more into trade books. Do that more. I just switched agents to do that. Because my other agent had all his connections in with publishers, divisions of publishers that work primarily with school books and adoptions and things. So, but I've just been with this other fellow a few weeks, so I have to see where he takes me. But I still get a lot of my work through people that I've worked for in the past on my own. I'm working for something for McGraw right now, and that's, you know, people I had worked for before.
What is it they're working?
It's a small reader on frontier literature. I just got the copy on it, and they're not even complete stories. They just sent me specs from each story. But it's like a Mexican family, Oriental family, Indian family, pioneers, you know, that kind of thing.
Could you describe the process that you go through, sort of from the time you receive
a copy?
However it goes.
Well, you get copy, and hopefully you'll get more than the specs. Hopefully you'll get the whole story, but you don't always. And then you receive specs on the job, like, or a composition order or something, and it tells you page size and type page size, whether it's black and white or full color or two color or three color, which means you'd have to do separations. So it has a mechanical aspect. Whether or not art bleeds. And then there are loads of ethnic and male-female restrictions now that you just swamp with as an illustrator.
You have a quota system?
There are pages. If they're a group of children, there's a specific breakdown
of how many have to be black and
Caucasian, black, Indian, Oriental. Yeah, and the woman shouldn't be in an apron anymore. And once in a while, the man has to have the apron on or doing the old time typical woman's job. And the woman should be doing more assertive things and don't have one. Don't have a female doing such and such, or don't have a certain ethnic group doing such and such. You know, it's really funny. I mean, it's good in the sense you're getting away from the old stereotypes, but it's a hassle for the person who's doing it because he puts all these restrictions on you. You know, so it's hard to be free when you're doing the work. And then, you know, usually you do sketches first, and then it's sent back, and the editors will go over it, make whatever changes they find necessary, and most of them have to do relate back to these lists that they send you, you know, the stereotype stuff, and then you go into finches, and then you have to size things and, you know, and stuff like that, and the editors, you know, sometimes a hassle. Yeah, as an illustrator, you have to be willing to bend. I mean, your work isn't the final product; the book is. I find myself that's the major difference in being an artist on your own. You know, on my own work, I do however I feel, but for something in a book, you have to give and take.
Would you like to do your own books someday, or be the major force, have send drawings to people and have them do the write the stories, or
be fun to work with someone who wrote well and that you could work with well, you had a rapport with. I'm starting something with a friend now on the gardening in Bucks County. We're hoping to get something together, and it's just an idea now, really, just started some sketches and stuff, but it'd be nice to write your own books and illustrate them, you know. It's hard to get them published too, I imagine. I know one fellow who's very talented, and he does his own stories and illustration, and he finally has begun to get them published, and he's an excellent illustrator. He turns out all kinds of stuff, really nice quality. And he's just recently started to get things published of his own. But, you know, he's a good writer. I mean, I could probably get by, but I think you should be just as good at the writing. Well, I should probably try to do something on the dog, since it's a dog crazy. At least to know about.
I wanted to ask you who some of your inspirations were. Or how you were inspired. Sometime during your own childhood, did you see something that really set you off and that you still remember now and have a copy of?
Well, I always loved Lautrec, Van Gogh, Daumier. I guess they're really my favorites. And I've always loved their work. And here's my husband.
Hi,
good evening.
Jeremy?
Hi, Jeremy.
How are you?
Feeling better?
Feeling better now?
Still better.
Do you?
Yeah. I'm going to take some more aspirin. Yeah.